everything for myself, which actually hurts the economy.
Well, see, they already do that for themselves, so they don't understand that.
No, they don't.
See,
no,
they don't have a business mind.
That's
what you got to realize. They don't comprehend mathematics that well.
I saw about these health exchanges thing, and they said they were talking about a family. I forget which state it was, making $15,000 a year, and they're going to get health care for $300 a month, and with a $2,300
Those numbers are too big for them to figure out.
Yeah, the problem is if you're making $15,000 a year, you're on Medicaid anyways.
Exactly. I like to explain it like this using small numbers, all right? If they raise the minimum wage a dollar and I got to pay everybody who works for me a dollar more an hour, I've got to charge $2 more an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Well, because it's a dollar. Then it's 15% of a dollar to cover the Social Security. Then it's another percentage to cover the workers' comp. Then it's another percentage to cover sales tax.
Now, let's make it. I'll put it really easy so maybe these people will understand. I got to raise it $2 an hour per person because, first of all, I'm not going to lose any money. Correct? I'm the business owner.
Right.
Second of all, because everybody's raising the minimum wage, it's going to cost more. Right? So I've got to charge that extra dollar just so my disposable income doesn't go down. And while they're making another dollar an hour, they've got to pay $2 an hour everywhere else. So they're actually got less disposable income.
Well, not only that, with the health care thing, they're going to start taxing investment income now.
They already are.
Well, no, they're not. They're not. They're going to start charging Social Security tax on investment income, which we've never done before.
Well, no.
So if you're going to charge me a 15% self-employment tax on my rental incomes, now I have to raise my rents 20%.
Right.
Because I got to raise them 15% to cover the tax, then I got to raise them an additional percentage to cover the additional income that I'm going to have to pay tax on.
Exactly.
Just to break even.
Exactly.
And who loses?
The common small person.
My low-income mom with a couple of kids paying $400 a month, that's now going to pay $500 a month.
Right.
That she can't afford to pay the $400.
Right.
And then she's going to cry to the government that she, put in power, because they were giving her free stuff.
And then somehow they're going to.
And they don't realize that there's nothing free. Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing.
Dina says that the Democrats want to give free stuff away.
Why did you say that name? 614. 614.
Y'all got me.
Doesn't she sound like one of them Halloween witches right there?
Yeah. No.
Y'all got me. She did. She said,
no.
Oh, you're laughing. I'm scrapping.
Get away. Oh, Papa Garrett.
Oh, my gosh.
And we can
kill
all
the
little
funny,
poor people.
We'll boil them and kill them.
Throw them in the oven.
Cauldron, boiling bubble.
Okay, come on now.
Oh, where shall I start? Okay, I do have a question for Ben.
Yes.
How many employees do you employ, if you don't mind
my
asking?
Right now, just three.
Okay, so I get why you're concerned, because you do have a smaller business, and with smaller business, that will be a little expensive that you would have to
Diva, the sad thing is, Diva, is that the people that work for me aren't super rich millionaires. I mean, what I'm saying? They have, and you raise every time the minimum wage is raised, they have less disposable income.
Wage is wage.
Yeah.
You said the minimum wage is wage.
Because that is what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
I completely understand your concerns. However, have to look at that there are a lot of businesses whom, if they could afford to pay their employees better, but they refuse to, is the reason why we're in the situation that we are in.
Why you're in that situation.
No, hold on. I understand her point perfectly. There are a lot of multinational corporations that do make millions, and they do overpay the people at the top. I'm going to give you that. Okay, I agree.
So why
does
the business community get together and figure out a solution? Because here's the irony of it. You not you guys, but your leadership on Capitol Hill continues to cut programs that would help the people who are needed, who work for a living, and
why?
They need assistance. And the reason why they need assistance,
what you just said is not true.
I cannot let you finish because you didn't even get my complete. But you just made a statement, and it's not true.
And I don't want the people to think that it's true. But go ahead. Now you can go.
The GOP did not pass a House Republican bill to cut $39 billion out of food stamps over 10 years, which will almost be about a billion a year.
Actually, they didn't. Diva, what they voted to do was slow the rate of growth by $39 billion.
Thank you.
They didn't vote to cut a single nickel. There's actually going to be more money spent on food stamps next year than there was this year. That is the misinformation that the Democrats and the mainstream media are using, is they are calling a limit to the increase of spending a cut. And it's not a cut. If a family spends the same amount of money this year on car payments as they did last year, they didn't cut what they spent on their cars, did they?
I'm sorry, but John Boehner sat there and proudly said, yes, we have voted to cut $39 billion from the SNAP program over a 10-year period. Now,
he cut
$39 billion
out of the increase, out of the $40 billion increase.
Do you realize, Diva, that every year that they raise what they're going to do, what they're going to pay out, and if you cut the percentage of what they're going to raise, they call that a cut. But all that is a cut in the increase that they were going to make in the first place. The people that are getting the benefits right now are not going to get any less next year than they would this year. It's just that you're not going to be.
But the fact of the matter is, you have people who are working, who are hard workers, who can barely afford to take care of.
And they're not going to be affected. It's not going to affect them whatsoever.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to scream. But I never said that they were going to be affected, and I wish you would stop putting words in my mouth, and you will understand me more if you will let me finish. I'm not trying to yell at anybody.
I ain't trying to understand you.
Well, I am. Let her speak. Let me hear what she's saying.
I already have a Rubik's Cube. I'm okay with that. Go ahead.
But you do. The fact of the matter is, you have people out here, hardworking people, who can barely afford to feed their families, buy insurance, or pay for the employee health insurance that they have. On the other hand, you have a leadership, I don't care what you say, that we don't have a problem with social programs. Yes, you do, because you don't want these big social programs. You want a smaller government, and the more problems we have, it grows government. So what do? If a person who cannot afford to feed their family, heat their housing with just a little bit of money that they're making, but yet you don't want these programs that continue to grow government. You say you want to help those who work and who are in need, but yet you are against the very programs that continue to grow our government.
Well, Diva, for one thing, where does the government get its money?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Where does the government get its money?
Santa Claus.
That's the problem. People like you think the government is Santa Claus. Government has to take money from one citizen in order to give it to another citizen. That's the whole problem. Every dollar the government takes comes out of a taxpayer's pocket. So what you are saying is that you want to elect someone who is willing to take money from one taxpayer in order to subsidize another taxpayer. Is that correct?
She fell off the air. 440, you're in the air. She had a phone malfunction, I'm sure.
I got a question for you guys. You know, most of your program is trying to educate Diva. She is a contrarian. I'm serious, dude. It gets
that's
real
a good
old.
Word for
I mean,
it.
Most
good word. That's
most,
a good. That's a good title.
Well, it's not just Diva. There's millions of callers out there that are just like her that don't understand.
Yeah, Diva's our quintessential Mahoning Valley voter.
Right.
And so we're trying to,
I mean,
through her, educate the typical Mahoning Valley voter.
Well,
go ahead.
Most of the people you have on there, they have, you know, they have legitimate arguments. But every time she gets on, she's uninformed.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. She is.
This is true.
She's uninformed. It's like you're taking her to school. I mean, it's
well.
And we realize the frustration.
I almost want to turn you guys off because of that.
Well, you know, in Diva's defense, she's probably one of the most educated of them out there.
She is a contrarian. She is a contrarian. Is the all
yes.
she is.
Yes.
Well, there's no about a doubt, no about a
yeah.
doubt it that she's
that's
a contrarian.
Yeah.
Yep, okay, but don't
you.
Turn us off. We're dealing with a whole vein of thinkers like that.
And
626.
They're just one Diva.
Oh.
Down the drain.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. What are you doing?
You know what? I'm at work and I'm in the lobby area.
Okay, go ahead, 626.
Yeah, this is Lisa from California. My question is about this whole Obamacare. Where is the money going to come from? Because I thought we were supposed to be in a deficit and not a surplus.
Good question. That's what we're trying to figure out here.
So what is
but,
it?
Yeah,
so
we were told
it?
To pass the bill by one of your Congress people told us that we don't have to read the bill. We'll just pass
don't,
it now and we'll read it later.
Don't read the bill.
Yeah.
Don't read it at all. We have to pass it so we can see what's in it, because that's the way it works
right.
when progressives get in control.
So why don't you ask
to destroy your life?
Ask Dianne Feinstein.
Nancy Pelosi.
All those crazy politicians from out in California. Brown, you
and
ask them
that,
where it's going to come from.
Yeah, and not only that, I know my health insurance. I know Obama said it's not going to change, but it probably will. Because last year I had to take a mandatory checkup. And if I didn't take the checkup, I would be charged $500 more per year on my insurance. So I had to give how much I weighed, my height, my waist size, and I had to fill out a questionnaire, you know, in reference to do I eat enough fruits and vegetables. And they also took down my race. Which now I'm in a high risk category because even though I'm perfectly healthy, because I'm a black woman over 40, now I'm in a high risk category. So I don't know if that's going to affect my insurance in the future, but next time I'm going to check other.
Well, Lisa, I can tell you that my wife's insurance, starting in 2015, you're going to get a blood test for nicotine. And if you're over 29% body fat, you're going to. Be considered obese.
Yep.
And they're going to surcharge you for both of those. And I think she said the nicotine one, if you pop positive, now we're talking about cigarettes like they're drugs. If you pop positive for nicotine, it's going to cost you $4,000 a year.
Yep.
Wow. And that's something because, you know, I just got back from the Bahamas 2 weeks ago, and they have socialized medicine. And they said, oh, yeah, you know, it's free, you know, for surgeries and stuff, except you're on a waiting list.
Wait a minute.
So basically, you can wait to die unless you got enough money to bribe your way through the system.
No, man. We go out in the wood and we check out Dr. Boom Boom. He do surgeries for you right away.
No. That's the one that makes the zombies.
Well, he does both.
Yeah, he makes the zombies. You don't want to go to Dr. Boom Boom.
In the United Kingdom, if you need heart surgery and you smoke. You ain't getting no heart surgery until you prove to them for a certain amount of time that you've quit.
Ain't that nothing?
Yeah.
334,
yeah.
You're in the air. 334. Okay, 334
what's going
is
on?
Hanging
what's
out.
Going on? What's up,
Alabama? What's going on?
Hey, man, you know, y'all be being diva down, man. Y'all need to get off that girl, man. Y'all be going upside that girl head, man. Y'all need to leave that girl alone, man.
Diva, Diva, you are open, baby. Listen, Diva goes upside our head, and if you saw what Diva does on my, she's a one-man wrecking crew on my Facebook site. So what I do is I have to get Diva. I got to get Diva straight.
You got to understand. You got to understand, man. I mean, I understand the logic behind Diva. I'm not just, I ain't going to be illogical. I understand where she's coming from. I just disagree. But I understand full well where she's coming from.
Well, I know where she's coming from, too.
Yeah, she's coming from, you know, and she don't like us to use that word emotional, but it, how? Right. What about that guy? That's emotion. She wants to, and that's what Democrats do to people is they try to evoke feelings of compassion.
Well, see,
so, hey, let's keep writing checks. Yeah.
Diva's a lot like the Obamacare bill. You don't read it first, you just pass it.
I mean, but, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I feel like I was just listening to Adrian Rogers. He had a thing he did a little thing a couple of days ago called Salty Saint.
By
and
the way,
he was just talking about.
Wait a minute. Adrian Rogers is a very excellent Bible teacher, by the way. That's what he's talking about. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. And he was just talking about Salty Saints and what it means, and it was just excellent the way he broke it down. And I would really like if you on one of your breaks coming back in as some bumper instead of bumper music, just use that last 10 minutes of an excerpt of it. It's just it's a great breakdown of how people should how we should approach government.
We just might get some of that in there if we can. I do have a tax poem I want to get out the way. As well, so we're gonna do all of that. Hopefully, this segment. Yeah, we'll get it before the 1 o'clock hour here, and when we go to our top of the hour news, which is to be in about 12 minutes from now. So it's all good. We will look at that. But Diva, you have to understand, Diva will fight to the death, though she has no point. And we know you're there, Diva, and your phone line is open.
She's auditioning for a position in the Obama White House.
What's the spokesman's name?
Jay Carney.
She wants Jay Carney's spot. That's what.
She'd probably do a good job for them.
She'd probably do a better
do
job.
Better job. Carney
is terrible.
He's worse than Beaker.
Yeah, he is worse than Dr. Beaker was. I can't think of that.
Gibbs, Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
No, not Joe Gibbs.
Something
Gibbs. Robert Gibbs.
There you go.
I'm telling you, that guy looked like Beaker.
Diva, we're killing your guys. What do you got to say about that?
She'll defend him to the last. Right, Diva?
Diva.
Oh, she must have that cheap Bluetooth on.
She's still trying to figure out where the government gets its money from.
She's Googling it. Oh, my God. Anyway. Anyway, 626, you're still in there. 334, you're there. And
Diva,
you're there whenever you want to speak.
Give Diva some credit now because she's had a tough 4 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, she's been really. She's a Steeler fan like me, so.
Oh, good.
I understand.
Good, Diva. I'm glad you're a Steelers fan.
I mean, she's not thinking.
Hey, real talk, though.
Right.
Real talk, though.
Yeah.
I didn't know she had that cancer situation she described Friday, so. Y'all
yeah,
might
we
wanna,
pray. We
know,
definitely
keep in
we prayer. Definitely
yeah, that's serious right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know how bad it is being a Steeler fan right now? I mean, literally, I was listening to Obama speak, and I thought he was intelligent there for a second.
Oh, you are losing it, brother.
I'm serious. What he was saying about talking to the Iranian president, I was almost buying it.
I heard we just sent Iran $1 million.
Well, we don't have to. They've got our own printing machines. They print our own.
Iran
yeah.
or Iraq?
Iran.
Why do we send them $1 million?
We just gave them an artifact worth $1 million.
Oh, okay. Was something
no,
we kept of theirs?
North Korea has the super plates. They're the ones who's printing $100 bills.
Well, they had those in Iran, too. That's why we changed. We went to the color money and everything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, they do that in England. Every so often, they change all their money, and if you don't turn your money in by a certain time,
it's not good.
It's no good no more. Because I went over there, the very first time I went over there, I had a five-pound note that was absolutely useless.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's you can turn in our money over there too. It's useless. They won't
take
it now.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, I used to work with a guy. He was a warrant officer in the Royal Navy, and he always kept a $20 U.S. in his wallet because he said he could spend it any place in the world. Well, now you can use it any place in the world, in the outhouse.
Yeah.
Might be a little rough, but it'll work. Still a thing.
That's
what they're doing to us. Let me try something.
If the oil goes on to the Euro standard, I'm getting Euros in my store. I accept Euros right now.
I'm going to start taking rents in pre-1964 dimes.
Yeah, it's silver only, right?
Pre-1964.
Yeah, 1963 or earlier coins, they're no good anymore. Please send them to me.
Just send them to me. I'll take them.
Yes, we'll give you two dimes for them.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Shiny new ones.
Yep. Quarters, I'll give you 50 cents for every pre-1963 quarter you want to send me.
Yeah, and I'll give you brand new ones, shiny.
Yep.
Never been opened.
Yep. Yep, you send me a roll, I'll send you a roll of brand new ones back.
I'll send you two rolls.
Two rolls back. Two rolls.
Yeah.
And I'll pay postage.
Definitely.
Well, here I got something for you, gentlemen. No. That's not what we want.
Oh, you're looking for another little?
No, we got to go something else. We got to do that.
But, yeah, and I heard the weirdest thing last week, a little blippet of information where Kerry comes on and says, if we shut down the government, it'll cost us twice as much. Wait a minute.
Twice as much as what?
Wait, if I shut off the light bulb, is it going to cost me twice as much in electricity?
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't understand where these Democrats are getting their mass from.
Well, they're talking about the cost of unemployment insurance and back pays.
Anything John Kerry says, I believe.
You know who he sounds like? Thurston Howell III.
Thurston, he
does. Thurston Howell
III. Love it.
I was listening to him the other night. I looked at my wife. I says, he does. He sounds just like Thurston Howell III.
I'm almost there. I'm almost there, you guys.
Was it Ginger or Marianne? I mean, who was your favorite?
I was a Marianne guy.
I was a Marilyn Monroe.
you like
Ginger.
Ginger?
I like both of them actually. I'm really digressing here. I'm going to go way off the charts here.
Okay. I Dream of Jeannie.
No.
Oh.
Petticoat Junction.
Oh, wow, yeah.
The dark-haired girl was my girl.
That was
girl.
Before my time, but when it
Man.
Comes to Ginger and Marianne, I'd have to say both.
No, you got to go back and you got to go look at the girls when they put the pictures up. And I was in grade school, and I was, like, losing my mind.
what was not Laura Ingalls, the sister, the blonde-haired girl.
The one that went blind?
Yeah.
On the show?
Yeah. She was. She was every
good.
12. She was 12. Every 12 year old's fantasy.
No, that was. What about Brady Bunch? Remember the Brady Bunch?
That wasn't crazy.
Marsha Brady.
Marsha.
What are we watching here now or listening to?
This is John Kerry's new speech.
All right. We're going to preview it.
I will
it.
Do it in John Kerry voice as well.
All right. Go right ahead.
Tax his land. Tax his bed. Tax the table at which he's fed. Tax his tractor and tax his mule. Teach him taxes are the rule. Tax his work. Tax his pay. He works for peanuts anyway. Tax his cow and tax his goat. Tax his pants and tax his coat. Tax his ties, his shirt. Tax his work and tax his dirt. Tax his tobacco and tax his drink. Tax him if he thinks he has time to think. Tax his cigars, tax his beers. If he cries, then tax his tears. Tax his car and tax his gas. Find other ways to tax his... Okay, you know what to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Tax all he has and let him know that you won't be done till he has no dough. When he screams and hollers, then tax him some more. Tax him till he's good and sore. Tax his, till he's good and sore. Then tax his coffin and tax his grave. Tax the sod in which he's laid. Put these words upon his tomb. Taxes drove me to my doom. And when he's gone, do not relax. It's time to apply the inheritance tax.
You know, they did leave out one line.
Well, no, you know.
Yeah, they will tax his tax.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Tax his tax, and if you dare, then tax this very Obamacare.
Imagine, 200 years ago, we went to war over taxes.
Taxes!
You know,
now we've got more taxes than what we had when we were...
With nobody representing us.
We fought a revolution over a 5% tea tax.
Yeah.
Now they're taking 55%,
right.
And nobody understands why everybody's upset.
You know what? I'm with those western counties in Maryland. Let's just seed
California.
No, Maryland.
Well, there's some California.
Five
too.
Counties in Maryland want to seed from the state.
And make their own state.
And make their own state and possibly start their own country. I'm with them.
If they do, I'm moving.
Yeah, me too. And you know what? And I thought the people in West Virginia were a little stupid. I think they're smarter than all of us.
I'm heading for Wyoming, personally.
That might be a good place.
No,
I like
Cheyenne
anyway.
I will say this. Ohio's getting smart. You know that stand your ground law? I really like it.
You got people writing. This is so stupid. So stupid. They're writing laws against, they're already standing up against Stand Your Ground. Now,
how could you stand up against Stand Your Ground?
Because you have to be stupid to do that.
It must be.
And
a Democrat.
I'm sorry, good people out there. I don't want to offend you, but if you don't read that Stand Your Ground law and see what it means, then and you want to vote against it,
you're stupid.
Without it, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
We had a gun expert on, he said that statistics show that minorities use the Stand Your Ground defense more than white people do.
Or they get off.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They
easier.
Use it and
right.
they get off with it.
Right.
Which I don't understand what people think is.
So let's handicap minorities more and not vote to keep your Stand Your Ground
right.
law. I mean it just makes come on, we're white,
Diva,
we should do that, right?
Diva, you're there. Are you giving us the silent treatment? Is that what you're doing?
If you are, thank you.
That's all I'm
doing. No. Look, listen. I want you to know that yesterday I'm sitting at a restaurant eating after church, and somebody came up and said, "What's with that girl Diva? is she part of the show anymore? Wait a minute. Why does she think like that?" Now, don't say nothing. These are African American people, so don't say it was my white conservative buddies, because it wasn't. Now, what do you got to say about that, Diva?
You're famous.
It was your black
town.
Conservative buddies.
They're conservatives, but they are not what I am. So, come on.
I don't care what color they are. They're still Republicans. So, I mean, I get that.
No, they are not Republicans. They are not Republicans.
Libertarian or whatever. They ain't Democrats.
They are registered Democrats. Now, talk to me.
Bull hockey. I call bull hockey on them. But were you eating my steak and lobster, you'll be owing me?
No, you can. Listen, with your direction cards, you can buy steak and lobster.
I don't get those stamps.
Local caller, what you got to say?
I apply, but I don't get them.
Local caller, you got the. You're on air. Local caller, you just called in on the local line. You're in air. Is this Steve? Steve lost his nerve to talk to you, Diva.
Do you understand what one kid, when I was working, I did not qualify for food stamps.
Yeah,
I argued for food stamps. I didn't qualify for it. I only had one kid.
I think the only way you should qualify for food stamps is if you have a job.
It should be that way. But then that grows the program even more so. Getting bigger.
Why do they punish people for bettering themselves? I want you to think about this.
We're about to go to the top of the hour break, so here we go. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.traceyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. It appears all but certain that the federal government will partially shut down for the first time in 17 years. Starting tonight at midnight, a standoff between House Republicans and Democrats over a funding measure continues. Republicans are determined to delay by a year some key parts of President Obama's health care law. House Speaker John Boehner.
It's time for the Senate to listen to the American people, just like the House has listened to the American people, and to pass a one-year delay of Obamacare and a permanent repeal of the medical device tax.
A day before a new insurance marketplace is open for business under the Affordable Health Care Act, only 2 in 5 Americans are aware of them or aware they may be eligible for financial aid to help buy health insurance. But the survey by the Commonwealth Fund also finds that once people are informed of their choices, nearly 2/3 of those eligible say they're likely to take advantage of the insurance exchanges.
2/3 of adults are strongly or somewhat in favor of making Medicaid available to more residents in their states. And this was even true in states that aren't currently expanding their Medicaid programs.
Sarah Collins with Commonwealth Fund. Two commuter trains collided in a suburb of Chicago this morning, injuring 3 dozen people. That shouldn't have happened. Investigators are looking into whether someone deliberately sent a largely empty train loose on the tracks, allowing it to collide with another.
I heard screaming, stop the train, slow down. And then I got up and I turned my head and I saw the crash.
None of the injuries life-threatening. A University of Wisconsin-Madison student has raised about $18,000 through competitive eating to pay for his tuition. Actor John Hamm is ready for throat surgery, which is supposed to happen this week. The Mad Men star having a polyp removed from his vocal cords. This is ABC News.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with 4 legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. Our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite helps them obtain that better nutrition that is hard to find in commercial foods.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil, the seaweed, the kelp.
They don't shed as much, and they're all over very healthy dogs.
We tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
DINOVITE.
Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Florida health officials are warning about another flesh-eating bacteria that spread through salt water. ABC's Daniela Bellotta.
Vibrio vulnificus is an organism that's very similar to the one that causes cholera.
And ABC Chief Health and Medical Editor Dr. Richard Besser says
most bacteria don't love salt so much, but these do.
Which is why swimmers and seafood lovers are being warned.
If they eat this organism in raw seafood or they get it into their skin through an open wound when they're in the water, it can cause an overwhelming infection, which for some of these people can be fatal.
Statewide, there have been 29 cases of infection and 9 people have died, but Dr. Besser says
it can easily be prevented if people are careful.
Daniela Bellotta, ABC News. Nearly 20,000 pounds of ready-to-eat chicken and ham products being recalled because of possible listeria contamination. The products from Garden Fresh Foods of Milwaukee were distributed nationwide. They include some salads sold under the brands Market Pantry and Archer Farms. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Experience the miracle
Bosch
of...
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S. And now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Stop in today at your local Ford dealer and see why Ford is the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio. With so many options and attractive leasing, there is no reason to consider any other brand. Visit DriveOneOhio.com for details.
Local restaurants, shops, salons, and more with savings of 50 to 90%.
every time. Live more, spend less. Download the mobile app now.
Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
How long do you expect to work? A recent study by Northwestern Mutual found that 1 in 3 Americans expect to work into their 70s, and 1 in 10 will work past 80. Part of that may be by choice, but studies show strong evidence that retirement is being delayed out of necessity. Rebecca Barsh at Northwestern Mutual in Milwaukee, Wisconsin explains.
We found that over half of Americans say they are financially prepared to live just until age 75, based on their current situation and saving strategy. That number drops to 44% of those who say they're prepared to live to age 85, and only about one-third of Americans feel financially prepared to live to age 95.
That's a big contrast.
Bob, it's a powerful illustration of how far behind people are feeling about retirement, so it's critical to have a comprehensive plan in place to achieve long-term financial security. That means having your money last as long as you do.
For more information on your roadmap to retirement, visit NorthwesternMutual.com. I'm Bob Thibault for the Consumer Radio Network.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And welcome back. You're listening to Tracy Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. This is Ben here, and Sticks is in the studio, and Jeff will be back momentarily. And we've got a lot going on for a Monday.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, seriously now, the Browns?
The Browns
are winning.
First place? Obamacare is going to be going into effect.
Maybe.
Yeah. Tomorrow morning there may not be a government.
Right. That's a good thing.
We
like that. You know, less government, more freedom. I mean,
yeah.
I hate the slavery system I'm in right now.
Oh, when we passed the income tax, we gave up our freedom to earn money to eat. So now with Obamacare, we've now given up our right to breathe without tax.
Yeah.
So we have effectively enslaved ourselves to our federal government.
Right. You know, I just don't get it. I mean, we actually spilled blood to get rid of one anarchy, one ruling class, and we're setting up another one in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that goes for Democrats, Republicans, Independents. I honestly believe that the people that are in charge of us down in D.C. think that they're above us.
They're all on the same side.
Yes, their side.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, I'm a small old libertarian. I hate everybody.
Mm.
I think they're all a bunch of crooks. I think Boehner's just as crooked as Pelosi is. I really do.
Yes. But you have to choose the lesser of two evils now.
That's true. And I also have to work to throw out anybody in the Republican Party who I don't think is conservative enough.
Well, why don't we just form our own party? But you do what I think party or else.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. We'll get Ted Cruz to be our presidential nominee.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it'll be
Ted
called...
Ted Cruz, Mike Lee.
Right, Live Free Party.
The Live Free or Die Party.
Yeah,
like that.
Live Free or We'll Kill You Party.
The Get Off My Lawn Party.
Yeah, Get Out of My Pocket Party.
Hey, and Jeffrey's back.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeffrey's back. He's got his Browns gear on. He's floating high because the Browns are winning.
Yeah, I had to.
He's not floating high because the Browns are winning. He's floating high because the Steelers are losing.
The Steelers are losing. That's true.
There's a big difference there.
The enemy of the enemy is my friend. See, my favorite NASCAR drivers are Tony Stewart, Kyle Busch, and anybody who's beaten any of the Hendrick drivers.
Thank you. Sticks,
now
you got the revelation. Surely flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. but only my football father in heaven.
I know one thing. If your football whatever is in heaven, he's not a Browns fan because for the last 50-some years.
Hey, they're kind of busy up there. They couldn't get stuff going on down here. You know, they were busy.
With all these people killing
people all over the world now. They, you know, there's lots of influx of people here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
773, you are in the air.
How you doing today?
Doing great.
Good, man. My name is DJ. This is my first time calling, so, you know, just listen to the conversation.
Oh, excellent. Where are you coming from?
Chicago.
Glad to hear from you, DJ. Right. What's going on in Chicago?
Oh, man, a lot of bad things. That I feel like, man, it's just, you know, the gangs here, they're taking over, bro, and it's getting to the point to where it's like, you know, a lot of people talk about gun control. You know, some people for the guns, some people are not for the guns, but I know in Chicago, we have a major problem with that. So I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on what about gun control. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me ask you first. How do you feel about the talk about bringing the National Guard into Chicago?
I can't. This is what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say, bringing in the National Guard, do I believe it would help? Maybe not. I don't know, but I just feel like, you know, I live in a hood in Chicago in a rough neighborhood. So it is like a war zone. It's like people are just dying left and right. And I feel like it's not getting any better. And nobody seems to know a solution.
Okay, who's in charge of that area politically?
I forget what that dude's name is.
And what party is he from?
What party am I from?
Well, yeah. No, what party is the person who's in control of that area?
I think he's a Democrat.
Yeah, how long has the Democrats been in control there?
As long as I can remember.
And has it been getting progressively better or progressively worse?
Worse.
Then why are people in that congressional district supporting Democrats who, under their leadership, have been letting Chicago go downhill progressively?
That's the thing. I feel like it's going to take a new change.
Okay. Well, I'm agreeing with you there.
Well, you called in wanting to talk about gun control. Now, let me ask you this, because this room's full of pro-gun people. If the good people in Chicago, the law-abiding citizens, weren't curtailed in their guns in their gun ownership, do you think it would make it better or worse?
I don't think it would make it any difference. I do believe in bear arms. I do believe that you're a man and you have a household. I believe you do have the right to protect yourself. But I don't believe you should have AK-47s walking down the street with all that.
Well, nobody's really saying that we need to have AK-47s running down the street, but we certainly do have the right to have an AK-47 or AR-15, any assault rifle, because the Second Amendment was not for just defending your house. It was for you to defend yourself even against your government if they went awry. Because don't forget that the framers from the Constitution were clearly affected by England's influence upon the colonies and on the United States. So therefore, they didn't make that Second Amendment saying this is so you can protect your house or hunt. This is so you could defend yourself even in case your government.
From your government.
From your government.
Yeah, the militia could. Yeah.
So that's what we're saying, because right now you have illegal AK-47s killing people on the streets of Chicago, and I believe that there's very few people that can even have a right to carry in Chicago. Am I correct?
Yeah. You have to. It's very strict. You know, if you do go through the, you know, license a gun, you're gonna go through a whole lot. You know, it's very limited.
And, Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it should be more widely distributed. But having even those restrictions, if you check your statistics, you'll see that once they let – it's even Detroit also. Once they let the inner city, guns became able to obtain again legally, the murder rate has gone down, not up. It has gone down. Now, we're not saying it's gone down far enough that things are getting better, but the murder rate with guns has decreased since citizens were able to own guns in the inner city of Chicago as well as Detroit.
Now let me ask you this, DJ, since you're there and I'm not. The majority of shootings in Chicago, are they done with a handgun or a rifle?
I would say a handgun. I would say a handgun. A lot of times with the gangs, they just go out and kill, and it's more done with a handgun. But it's like, you know, when kids are involved, that's when I really have a problem. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, we live like, you know, especially we live in society, or I feel like we live in society that, you know, kids are growing up to be, it's like, it's cool to be the dope dealer. It's cool to be this and that. But I feel like that's not right. That's not right at all.
Well, yeah.
And part of that is
the entertainment culture. I mean, when something like Grand Theft Auto 5 makes almost $1 billion the first day, and everything I've read about it, I've never played it, says it's nothing but killing and raping and pillaging.
Come on over. We'll play one night. It's fun.
There's just something wrong, because it's going to drive a certain segment of the population over the edge, that mental stimulation.
Most definitely. And I do.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead, my friend.
I was just saying, basically, I do agree with her full-heartedly, because I feel like a lot of times, you know, you have your Grand Theft Autos, you have the people in the hip-hop industry, or even the movies, or rock, or whatever genre, you know, you do have that saying, well, I can do this, and I did this, but I think this, and I was telling my sister the other day, there's a difference when a rapper is telling me, this is what I have done, and this is what I have suffered the consequences, versus for a rapper just saying, oh, I got an AK-47 in the trunk, I got keys in the basement and stuff like that. That's not, to me, it's not telling me a story. It's just telling me what crime you did.
Okay, DJ, because you're there and I'm not, again, I'd like to ask you this. My neighborhood where I live is a rural neighborhood. Everybody's got guns. We have safes full of guns, AK-47s, AR-15s, assorted rifles, shotguns, handguns. Everybody is basically armed to the teeth, and we have zero crime problem. Why do you think my neighborhood is different than where you live?
I believe the mind state. I believe a lot of people, like, you know, like I said, people grow up in that mind state of it's glorified to do this. You know what I'm saying? And that's the problem I feel like we face with. You know, and I feel like it all starts in home. You know, and I understand people come from broken homes and everything else like that. I come from a broken home as well. But you can either go two ways. You can either go up or down. And my thing is, I just think the mind state of the young people today is just, it's way off than when I was younger.
And what do you think's driving that?
It's multiple things. The people that they hang around, like you said, the games, the TV and the entertainment world. I feel like a lot of times, when you have the top entertainers saying, hey, I did this and I did that, you know, they're going to follow through. I think a lot of times, like, you know, if you look at Kanye West, I feel like if Kanye West would have said, hey, you know, let's stop the violence, put the guns down and all this, I do believe, not a majority, but I do believe some people would follow through.
Well, that's a possibility, and I'll give you that. But I'm gonna take it a step further. Sticks asked you, you know, what did you think was responsible for it? What if I told you that maybe some of the policies that our government has put forth are to blame?
I do believe that. I do believe that. I don't believe that the government shows by example by a lot of things. So that's just my opinion.
This is true. How do you? And I'm interested in your area, and everybody else don't. You know, if you want to jump in, you guys can. And Diva, you're still open, and Alex, I know if you want to talk, because I know many times you don't. All you got to do is hit your one, and I know you're there. But the bottom line is, I was really incensed at some things that happened, especially when they sent Rahm Emanuel back to the city to be mayor of Chicago. And I don't think he really came back and is a mayor of the people. Now, you know better than me because you're there. I have some relatives there, and I don't know whether that's so or not so. So you got to tell me.
As him, I just don't believe he feels his obligation as you know. I just don't believe that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Not saying that, oh well, he just sitting up there and just, you know, chilling or whatever. But I feel like, you know, there's some different solutions that I feel like that he could do instead of just, you know, sending out more and more enforcement. Why not try to figure out, okay, maybe we can go to a different approach? Because obviously, you know, when you send enforcement out, I mean, the cats out here, they don't really care. They're shooting at the cops. You know,
absolutely.
They don't care about going to jail. That's the thing. They don't care about going to jail because one day, if they even do get out, that's just the life that, you know, like I said, that's the mind state that people have.
This what you're saying is painting a really good picture for the people that we talk to across this nation, because it is very, very hopeless sometimes in our neighborhoods across this nation. You sound like you're an African American, and I'm going to let you say that later. Right now, we got to pay some bills. We'll be back in a few minutes. I'd like you to hang in there. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Salem Quaker football returns to News Talk 600. Friday nights on AM 600 are the home of Salem Quaker football, presented by Stadium GM Superstore. We cover Salem Quaker football from the opening whistle to the final play of each game. Salem Quaker football, brought to you by Stadium GM Superstore, Hack Steer & Company, Crab Insurance, Friends Family Pharmacy, Kent State University at Salem and East Liverpool, and Glenn's Archery. Salem Quaker football, Friday nights only on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Good afternoon once again. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff, Ben, and Sticks here. Hanging in on a Monday, on Open Mic Monday. We've been sort of interviewing one of our callers that called in for the first time that we know, and he's calling from the Chicago area. If you've been listening here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and WSOM 600 on your iHeart radio dial, as well as at TracyandFriends.com, if you've been listening, he's telling a really, really powerful but sad story about what's going on in Chicago. Here we have Trayvon Martin was downed down in Florida, and now it seems as though when all the facts come out that he actually had been out the way of the crime and then went back to the crime. And you know I was a strict supporting Trayvon Martin's right to have attacked Zimmerman until I heard that he had been almost home to his father's house, like two houses away.
Then came back.
And then came back to the scene and attacked Zimmerman. Now, but I all that while, and I'm honest about things. When I'm right, I'm right, and when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Here's the thing. The president got in that, but one weekend, the same weekend that that happened, 65 bodies were picked up in Chicago. Because they had some kind of great turf war. And when these guys start shooting, because they're shooting for their livelihood, understand, you have schooling in Chicago like Urban Prep, where they have 100% graduation rate, 100% go to college, and they're all black males. You tell me that it's not on purpose that every single ghetto in the United States of America, is they're all run by one set of people. You tell me that it's not a plan to keep them in a particular position. Because I don't see that National Education Association going to Chicago and praising Urban Prep and then going across the nation and reproducing that school so that black males have a chance to really enter into society. One thing a Chinese lady told her daughter that did not want to go to university, she said, well, now you'll be a frog living on the bottom of a well, seeing only a piece of the sky. That's a hell of a statement. That's a heavy statement. Now, when you don't have the academics early, how far down the water shaft are you then? How much of the sky do you ever get a chance to see? Especially when somebody's looking for your vote and blocking out the light. See, I'm sick of it. I'm sick to death of it. And I'm sick of these people merchandising my people. So as many of my people as I can get to listen, and as many as the other people that don't have to be subject to these people that will listen, I will partner and work with you. And we will find ways to get around this craziness, because you're not educating a whole segment of society, and you're doing it on purpose. So you're going to have to stop it sooner or later, because schools like that, Urban Prep, are not going to sit back and let you do it pretty soon.
Thank God for that.
No more are you going to have the first black president come into Washington, D.C., take the voucher program where poor children could go to the same school that he's sending Sasha and Malia to. And he ends that program just so he could be in with the unions. Forget about the kids that were doing well in those schools where they could excel in, that would challenge them and make them rise up to a level. Now, they'd rather do Common Core, or is it Common Core or Common Cause, where they're destroying the ability of children to learn factually academics. 3 times 3 is 9. It is not 8, if I can explain how I got to 8. It's still 9. You didn't get the freaking question right. You have to be correct. You have to be precise. When you're not precise, people take advantage of you. If your change is $3.25 and they hand you $3, you ask where my quarter is. But if you're in that figurative thing, well, he just gave me what he thought that I should get back.
Mm-hmm.
See, no, you think I'm crazy with this, but that's exactly what we're doing with this stuff. This is craziness. Call us online, Ben. You guys chime in, because you know I'm on a rant. I'm a little upset now.
But the rant that you raved about was 100% correct. Why do you think inner city schools don't teach the way they should? I mean, because if just like under slavery, if they educate you,
they can't control you.
Exactly. And they control you, and this is how they control you, with those social programs that Diva is so much in love with, that she needs, or that she perceives that she needs.
I think it's a perception issue.
Exactly,
yeah,
because she's way smarter.
When
than
you don't know any different.
Yes, exactly.
That's where you're at.
Exactly.
Hold on.
Diva, you seriously, out of everybody I know that is liberal, you know, you are very capable. You could start your own business. You can do whatever you want. You're smart enough to do whatever you want. And you do not need any help from any government.
Diva,
as long as you perceive that you need help from a government.
Now you're making perceptions. Because when I was working, which was up until late last year, I was fortunate enough to be able to start my nonprofit. That's when I decided that I wasn't going to work anymore. I was going to put
right.
my time and my effort. Started my nonprofit. It wasn't until that happened that I got sick with no insurance because I walked away from my job. I got sick with no insurance, almost died. It wasn't until I was able to get Medicaid. So to sit here and say I didn't need it, I just was finishing my radiotherapy. So to say that I don't need Medicaid, yes, I do, because
That's not what I said.
I said you're more than intelligent enough to start your own business for profit, right, and earn enough money that you could pay your own health care insurance. That's what I'm saying.
And Diva, I have offered.
There is no way that I can do
skills.
That. there was a way I could have done it at the moment. And that's some are people like
that,
me
see,
who don't understand the situation, you don't understand the circumstances. And you're putting perceptions out there.
If you had the education, if the Democrats in these inner cities were educating you, you would have that capability.
Yes, Diva.
I don't need them to educate me. My education
comes
from myself as a young adult. I don't need another grown person to educate me. I have to it's my responsibility to educate myself.
That's it. She's right. She's right. She's a grown adult. She should have been educated by these Democrats in these inner cities.
By the same token, Diva.
When she was a child.
Every successful person has mentors all the way through their whole life.
Absolutely.
They have people that educate them. So to say you're a grown adult and you don't need anybody to educate you is an arrogant statement showing your ignorance in how successful people get to be successful. People teach me things every day. I have people in their 70s that I sit with and teach me things. And teach me how to look at things in ways that I never used to.
I'm not talking about individual mentorship. I'm talking about the government. It is not the government's responsibility to basically run my life. It is up to me.
This is what we call an oxymoron. Let me educate you there.
Well, it's not an oxymoron.
It is an oxymoron.
There are certain situations where a person is going to be in need, and then there should be services to help them.
Diva, once again, you talk yourself in a full circle.
Someone else.
You just talked yourself in a full circle again.
No,
you don't realize what you don't know. That's what the whole thing is. That's what we try to tell
whatever.
You. Okay, whatever. That's for sure.
Yes,
short.
It is whatever.
Listen. I'm almost twice your age, sis. And guess what? I can see on your face what you don't know.
Our listeners can see on your face what you don't know.
You're not even
calling in and saying, telling you that.
People comment constantly in public when they comment about this show. And you're one of the callers that we spend a lot of time with, and we do it on purpose. We spend time with you because there's a whole bunch of people that think like you with less intelligence. Whole lot.
Here's the thing.
We understand, Steven. Nobody's talking about. I'm not going to let you finish because I'm going to finish first. Once again, I'm not talking about taking away programs for people that are needy. We are not saying that. We are saying there are people that have sicknesses, that have diseases, and in this America, we are a benevolent nation.
We take care of them.
We take care of those people.
And they deserve it.
Just because they're Americans. But here's the thing. It is not the right of an able-bodied person to be able to sit and live on a system and play the system instead of going out and finding education or going out, and start a business or anything like that. That's why you thought that the people that were you made a statement, and we were talking about cutting the programs, which you think are cuts, and they're not cuts. They're just a stopping of the
rate of growth
of that program. And that's the way they should say it. We're going to cut the growth. That's what they need to say in Congress because
it's not cutting the growth of the program. Whenever they stop the growth of the program, what it does is it prevents another family in need from being added.
It causes the
poverty levels to be increased. So certain Jeff.
You still haven't answered my question.
When you
grow
the program, it prevents other people from being added.
And Diva, at what point do you run out of other people's money?
Here you go with the other people's money. When it's no longer your money.
That concept.
Diva, when the government spends money, where do they get the money?
Oh my gosh.
Where do they get the money from?
We go over this every time.
That's
every
right.
time you always
you
ask that, like, I really don't
you,
know
you,
where
you,
money
you,
comes
she
from.
Con-
so you no, know what? For
every
person,
Diva, there's people here that don't know.
I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because it's because of people who pay taxes that I am able to qualify for Medicaid, and
okay.
I was able to get the help that I needed.
Okay.
So thank you very much. On behalf of everyone else who receives a government program, whether it's student loans, FHA mortgage loans, you know, whatever. Thank you, taxpayer, from the bottom of our heart.
But
thank
they're
you.
About to destroy the economy again, you know, because they're about to fail again, by the way.
Yeah,
but,
Fannie and Freddie are going belly
yeah,
up again.
Yeah, they're going belly up once
right.
again, which we told you 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Because they've refused to fix the problem.
Because they don't fix the problem, then it's going to happen again.
Bundling.
Yeah, it has to end, but they won't end it.
Yes.
Because guess what? It allows them to continue to pay their cronies with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
It lets them make more people dependent on the system, therefore get more votes for the Democrats.
More voted for the Democrats. This is no doubt about it. So we're gonna come back to this, and we're gonna move on. 330-482, you're in there.
Hi Jeff. Hi guys. Ben, Sticks, Diva,
hey, Bonnie.
And
I'm gonna ask you one thing, please. Hold on, because I'm close to my break. I got to take it this time, because
okay.
We got to pay our bills.
Unlike the government.
We can't print our own money.
We can't print our own. Cause
well, we could, but we'd get in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hey, you got the setup for it. Let's go look and see whether we can reproduce a print. Bonnie, we're going to talk about this.
Do you guys have your computer on? Do you guys have your computers on? Here,
yes, we
position.
Do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we got
I
computers.
Just, when I come back, you know, I wanted you guys to actually see what, you know, if I say something, check it out on the Internet.
Absolutely. We got you.
It,
well, here we go.
And,
we got to go. We'll be right back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff in the air chair. Chip.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Youngstown municipal judge has concerns about an independent candidate for mayor after hearing about a disruption during a church service. A reverend at the Holy Trinity Church ended his service early yesterday when he says John Cree acted in a bizarre manner. It's unclear exactly what Cree did, but Judge Robert Millick found out about it and wants city police to keep an eye out for the man. In Warren, jury selection is scheduled to start today for a man accused of killing his parents in their home 2 years ago. Lewis Mann is accused of murdering them after he got into an argument with his mom. Police say Mann strangled his mother to death with a clothesline and beat his father with a flashlight before shooting him. In Youngstown, police are investigating two separate homicides over the weekend, a shooting and a stabbing. A 33-year-old man was found dead on Truesdale Avenue Saturday morning with a gunshot wound, and a 28-year-old was stabbed in the chest, found on the second floor of an apartment on Hilton Avenue. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Looking for the right car at the right price? Come on out to the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. There's over 300
Hello?
Diva, this is Bonnie.
Yes, hi, Bonnie.
I wanted to say something. I know you have a computer at your lap, and I don't have one. To get this information, there are systems put into place to live off of those who are misfortunate enough to have from down to cancer to autism to poverty, and if you look into it, those programs are developed to not allow you to ever become successful if you don't step outside of it. They want you to continue so they can make new programs and develop new programs for more need to make other people very, very wealthy. If you go, and I don't know which one you have to deal with because you're in Columbus and I'm in a different county and it would be different. Wherever you would have to go to apply for any of the things that you may need, and when you're going through tough times, that's why they're there. Do you think that the intake people that take your application are living on what you are expected to live on?
No, they have jobs.
Well,
they get paid. Their
jobs
the intake people where I live, they are all licensed social workers.
But they
whether
get paid
in state
and out of the okay, there's a business being run. And the business takes care of the employees first, which they would be, even though they're social workers or therapists or intake workers or case managers or secretaries or janitors or whomever at that facility. They get paid first. And yet, because of your need, and believe me, I have a daughter who's an epileptic. And I have taken her to many of those places, and I see, you know, she's barely able to make it. She lives on SSI disability, and she has a Medicaid card, and she's expected to live on this very small amount of money and unable to work or go outside there to try to really better herself almost in a scary way because they'll take that benefit away when she needs it the most. And that they, if she was given the income equally to what some of the people inside these organizations, that these businesses that take the applications for the people who are in need, whether it be food stamps or veterans pay or cancer, you know, someone needing a bed, they live off of the sadness and the situation of the people who are needing it. And they're not living on $700 a month. They're not living on Medicaid. They have a different medical plan. They're not going to food stamps and looking behind them to see who might be watching, you know, because it's belittling. And yet, if you get out there and you would make $40,000 in a month, they'd take those benefits away from you, Diva, and you've got a little girl to take care of. And
if I make $40,000, honey, if I make $40,000 a month,
I
won't need Medicaid. I won't need the system, and I wouldn't even ask.
That's what I'm saying.
From Texas to see where Houston is. It's on the borderline of hard times. And it be seldom that you see homies breaking and giving God time. That's why I ask my mom to pray for me. Because I know that even I got to die, and he got a day for me. And every morning I wake up, I'm kind of glad to be alive. Because thousands of my homeboys died. And very few died of old age. In most instances, the incident covered up a whole page. From Amsterdam to Amherst, South Philadelphia to watch. The world is a ghetto.
You don't know nothing about hip hop. This is a group called the Ghetto Boys out of Houston, Texas. This is gangster rap from way back when. But it was teaching something at those times, them and Boogie Down. Oh, wow. Boogie Down Productions. Very deep, very deep. This was a deep. Oh, man, and my man, they had a midget with him, Bushwick Bill. That was my cat. He was a Pittsburgh fan.
Well, he was intelligent, we'll say that.
Yeah, he was definitely intelligent. Mm-hmm. See, people don't understand inner city a lot of times because they just can't get to the mindset sometimes of why you would do this or why you would do that. You do whatever you can to survive. I was fortunate enough coming up in the inner city of Youngstown to have a father that was a professional that escaped being out on the street because when he was young, he was a hustler. He ran numbers. He did a number of different things to survive.
Was he Italian?
No, he could have been green. He could have been.
Had to have some Italian in.
So he might have had. He could have had because, man, he doesn't know what he's got in him because he grew up, you know, totally.
Well, you like pasta, right?
I don't. No,
you
I don't? No, I can't eat
oh,
it, so I could care less. But I do like certain things. I love going to Carrabba's.
There you go. You're Italian.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're back just before our top of the hour news. Bonnie, go ahead. We interrupted you.
No, I was just going to make a point that if you look into the programs that are set up by the federal and state government, people who work in those places, caseworkers, psychotherapists, the intake people, the job coaches, the family coaches, whatever they are, they're not living on the amount of money that they expect the people that come in who are in need to live on. And if those people who came in to that need the help, if they didn't come in, none of the people in those businesses would have a job.
Oh.
They would be unemployed. The problem
those
is
are all
that
government jobs.
People who come in to get the assistance are actually these other individuals, including the government, who is designing the programs and setting up the funds for this, are living off of the people who are in need. They are taking advantage of them. And when you add whatever voting that they put inside that, you know, well, we're going to give you more because we're developing programs for you, that they're buying your vote. And they're living off of your bad situation that you might currently be in. Every single one of them. If everyone could make enough money to live on, if the businesses were booming, if people could make enough money to live on, all of these public assistance programs from HEAP to food stamps would be done. Done. And if we would educate the young people to have the hope that they could do anything they planned to do, a lot like it was when I was growing up, you know?
Well, that's one of the reasons why Reagan left the party.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I've made that statement. There's a certain political class in this country that their biggest fear is a financially independent middle class.
Absolutely.
And that's why they destroy the currency.
Yes.
That's why they promote inflation. And it is to
keep
the middle class.
They don't educate the children. And they're not
educating the children. That's why we don't teach home economics in school anymore.
Yeah. And
there's nothing economic about home economics.
And you can trace that right through the Democratic Party, right up to progressives.
Yes, absolutely. And straight to the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. And people,
that's what I'm talking
about. People claim that the Carnegies and the Rockefellers were Republicans, and they're not. They were progressives who hijacked the Republican Party. And what you have to understand about those elite progressives in the Republican Party is they're the Northeastern progressive Republicans. And even Rush Limbaugh has said he talked to these people at dinner parties, and they want to know what they can do about people like us because they don't like people like us.
Right.
They don't like libertarians.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you know, what's scary is that we've got examples throughout history of what happens when these progressives take control.
And we also have lessons about when they don't have control between 1789, 1913, the period where the United States, there was no Federal Reserve, there was no income tax. Personal wealth in the Western world increased by the greatest amount in human history. Personal wealth. And people moved readily from being poor to middle class to upper class within just a few years because your money was still worth something. You know, we've all read the Laura Ingalls Wilder books about how her father saved money to buy farm machinery and her father saved money to buy land. Can you imagine this day and age being able to work a job as a menial laborer and save cash to buy land?
Buy land.
And it was done readily and constantly in the 1800s. Cowboys that knew how to manage their money and didn't go drink it away routinely came back from cattle drives with enough money to buy ranches. Trappers routinely earned enough money in a couple of seasons trapping to buy ranches. This was commonplace in that period of time.
Yeah.
And it's been lost to us because our currency has been destroyed and our dollar has been destroyed.
It's not being taught either.
People were not going hungry like they are today. I mean, the food stamp program is very good for those who use it for the way it is designed. You know, I mean, to help you, you can do it on your own. But there are a lot of children And you hear the programs all the time, you know, feed the children, you know, hunger in all of our food banks. There's one coming up this weekend at the Columbiana County Fairgrounds, food drives, you know. We have all of those things going on. If food stamps worked, I mean, in my childhood, there were no food banks.
Well,
I'm not 120. I mean, it. You know, back when I was a kid, there were no food banks. Now we have welfare, food cards, food stamps, WIC, and it's still not enough, and the children are still hungry. So something is broken.
I would disagree with you in saying there were no food banks. You know,
yeah,
throughout history, every church has always taken care of the poor in one manner or another.
Especially through the Depression and the
right.
Well,
you know,
but
feed the children.
But they did need a fairground to collect.
I shouldn't say feed the children because that's an organization, but that whole mindset has become huge businesses.
Yes,
my wife and
true.
I have season tickets for Kentucky Speedway. One of the races we attend is the Feed the Children 400. AARP is sponsoring Jeff Gordon's race car at $1 million a weekend to promote collecting money to feed elderly people. I'm sorry, something's out of control here. When you're a charity and you've got $1 million a weekend to put your logo on a race car. I mean, I love my NASCAR, don't get me wrong, but
gotcha.
Something's wrong here.
If you're doing it, especially when you could have been doing that.
Right. Something's wrong when you've got millions of people that can't afford to eat and need food stamps, and yet you've got the government paying farmers not to plant food.
Alex, take us up to the top of the hour. I can't get you now, Steve.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, I thought you said wait to the after the top of the hour.
No, take us up.
Okay. You know, I wanted to just touch on what Bonnie was saying. That's the reason why, which a lot of people disagree with me, including Tracy, but that's the reason why I don't think that you should be able to vote on any level of government that you receive that you're receiving assistance or any benefit from. Or you shouldn't be able to even lobby on that level of government.
Wow!
Like if a company is receiving, say, a Lockheed Martin is receiving government contracts, then Lockheed Martin should not be able to then take that money and turn around and lobby the government for more benefits. And it's the same way if you're receiving federal benefits from the government, you should not be able to turn around in the next election cycle and vote on the federal level of government. Yeah, you can vote at your state and local and county levels, but you should not be able to because, I mean, that's really the problem here is because people have got cotton wind to the fact that they can vote themselves benefits. They can vote themselves somebody else's wallet. And that's really the downfall of a democracy is when they figure out that they can vote themselves the treasurer.
That's what Thomas Jefferson said,
absolutely.
Well, that's why the democracy in Greece failed after, so many years, and that's why the democracy in Rome failed.
That's why,
the republic failed.
They were both Republican form of government.
Right.
But the leaders became so corrupt that they figured out they could get the people to vote for them by giving the people stuff.
Right. And this is what brought down Rome.
It also ended up in enslaving one segment of the population to another segment of the population in Rome.
And when history clearly tells you that this is what has happened, you have only to think that the people that are trying to make this happen are doing it on purpose. You have to understand that. And that's what we're not looking at in this country. Look at what they're doing, not what they're saying they want to do. You know, we were talking about Johnson's reasons for supporting civil rights. Johnson did not support civil rights because he wanted to make it easier for black people. Johnson had the Vietnam War that he had to escalate, and he could not have fighting in the streets of America while he's fighting a big war.
It was a political calculation.
Absolutely.
Well, same thing. I mean, you go back to Germany, and I know I bring this up. You know, they turned to socialism. And under socialism, finally they figured out there's people that are a burden to the system, and they need to keep the money flowing. So what do they do? They get rid of the people that need the money, the inner cities, the ghettos.
And they use the
1%. Not only that. Yeah, look who Johnson sent to war. The Hicks, the Spicks, and the...
Yep.
That's exactly what they said.
That's right. We'll be right back after these top-of-the-hour news, and we'll be back. Callers online, hold on. We'll be right back.
Friends, listen to Tracy every weekday.
Hello? Hello? I know Alex is probably still there.
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, I remember the war they're talking about, the Vietnam War. He's right, because the boys who went to college, this was in my high school, you know. We were Hicks. We still are. We're in the country, in the Appalachian area. They took every 18-year-old boy who wasn't going to, they drafted them, that wasn't going to college. And the boys who could go to college were free of going into the draft. They worked. That gave them a free get out of boot camp card, and they were sending thousands over there. And that's exactly what they did. That is exactly what Stick said, and Jeff and Ben are saying. I lived that. I know that for a fact. Every morning when we would do, we still had prayer at our high school, and we would do the Pledge of the Flag, and there would be a silent moment of prayer for the boys we lost. And they were boys that had just graduated the previous year or maybe the year before. And it gives me goose pimples even to say it, because I lived that. I seen that happen. And the boys who had college, you know, of course, we didn't have the student loan situation like it is today. The families that could send their boys to college, they had them going even if their IQ was, you know, really down there. They were just paying the fee to keep them out of going to boot camp because they were drafted. And the boys in my class that graduated carried around in their wallet a classification. And they knew that they knew as they were turning into their 18th birthday if they were going to be in the first line to go, because it was like A1s, you know, B7s, you know, Cs, whatever, and many of them just carried it. You know, if you were H1, you were probably going to go, if you were in the numeral numbers of the alphabet.
Wow.
So true. That is exactly, we lived it. You know, we had, from my kitchen window, I can see the house of a family. I know it's a mindset, but their mom was a cook at a truck stop, and their father worked at a lumber yard, and both of their sons were drafted. And they said that couldn't happen. They said that the Army wouldn't take two of your sons. Well, they sure did.
Wow.
Vietnam War. Took both of them. Now, the one didn't go into fighting, and then the other one did. He went to combat. And he passes, and we wave. You know, he's got his family and his life and everything, but he's a very disturbed man. You know, he's like, you know, 60-some years old, and he's got grandchildren. He probably hasn't worked in 20 years. You know, once again, the system, you know, he gave what he did to his country, and yet he lives in a bad situation. His wife works at Arby's, you know. I mean, she can't be making more than minimum wage. She's 60-some years old, too.
Yeah. Wow.
I remember that.
That's an unfortunate reality for a lot of our elder veterans. I saw a lot of that, because I used to, when I lived in Pittsburgh, there's the Veterans Center over there. I don't know if you're familiar with the area.
I know where the one is in Cleveland.
Excuse me?
I know where the Veterans place is in Cleveland. I don't know about the one in Pittsburgh.
Over in Pittsburgh, there's a research center I used to work out of, and the research center was at the veteran. It was like attached to the veterans hospital, or inside of it, whatever. And you know, you got to see the veterans, and they were just the older guys. They had a lot of issues, both physical and emotional and mental, and it was just sad because they were just, you know, if people want to know what. If people want to know what our health care is about to be like, all they got to do is go to most
veterans' hospitals. That's right.
They would just be, you know, they were always in a line, waiting in a line, filling out forms, and just, it was sad. And
you know, they're keeping data to absolutely follow them through. They're truthful, you know, like what they had been exposed to, what kind of conditions they lived, you know, what their mental stability is, you know, and the one thing they'll take, the moment that one of those veterans start to look as though they're going through depression or whatever, they take away their right to carry a gun, and they have not even committed a felony. That's a law in America, but when a veteran comes back and he has questionable behavior, you know, something that a doctor can put his signature on, he's not allowed to have a gun.
Right. Yeah.
And he hasn't committed a crime.
I have a question. Well, as a mental health advocate, I don't think that someone dealing with mental health issues should be allowed to purchase a gun, but that's another discussion. I have a question because I just want to get, should we have government programs or should we not have government programs? Because I'm confused as to, one minute I'm hearing people say, well, yeah, we should have them in need, but then the next minute they're talking like we shouldn't have them.
Well, I have a way for you to, if you have a calculator handy, Diva, what you could do, and this is how, you know, I love Tracy's show because I listen and then I investigate what I hear and, you know, things that Alex has said, you know, I look them up, things she's said.
Call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back here live on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on WSOM 600 AM on your iHeartRadio dial, as well as on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends and tracyandfriends.com, all these places. My call from Chicago dropped, but I sure wanted to ask him a few more questions. But we have right now still on the line is Alex, and then Alex, when you're done, it'll be our local caller here. Go ahead.
Hey, well, you know, we were talking over the break, Bonnie and Diva, and one of the questions Diva asked was, well, should we or should we not have government programs? And I'm, you know, my simple answer is, you know, yes and no if it's done constitutionally. But I also believe that if you are on a government program, if you're getting government benefit, then the way one way to address the malusage is to you have the benefits, but then you can't turn around and use that to bargain for more power or more benefits, that be lobbying or voting or whatever. So once you accept those benefits, you have to, I think you should also accept that for that period of time, then you have no say at that, you know, in any goings on in at that level of government, you know, when it comes to programs. And that's that would be incentive for people to actually get off those programs so that they can become productive
now,
citizens.
Well, I think that could work.
I think there's a lot of people out there don't care about getting off the programs. They like taking advantage of them, and I can't say that I blame them. I think another solution would be make everybody that is not every able-bodied and feeble-minded person who accepts these benefits, okay, make them more or less responsible for repaying those benefits at some point in time.
Well,
that's a good idea, too.
I would say, because there was a reason that the founders at the outset of this country made it so only landowners could vote, because one person who has an income and one person who owns property will not vote to steal another person's property. And I would say that that one possible solution is, if you don't pay federal income tax, and I'm not saying Social Security, because Social Security is designed to be a savings for retirement. But if you don't pay federal income tax, you should not be permitted to vote in federal elections.
So that takes out 48% of the country in not voting, not being allowed to vote. Because, you know, 48%,
that's all it voted in the last election.
Diva, do you know what happens when it hits 51?
That's 48% of workers who receive earn income credit, which qualifies them not paying income tax. And then you have the people who don't work who receive some type of government benefit. So then you promote a class where only one group of people have the right to vote.
So you're saying 51% of the population is paying the whole freight for the whole country. Is that fair?
Even during the break, I said to you that you could figure out answering the question that you asked yourself with a calculator. If you take what is given in your area as public assistance to somebody who's in need, and you compare it to the minimum wage that is in your area, you take about 22%, and that's a whole lot lower than what they would take from you in Social Security and withholding tax and local taxes. That's a whole lot. We even could probably go 30%. But let's just do it for even numbers. You take that,
Bonnie,
out,
that's your phone. Okay, there
that's
you go.
My phone?
Yeah. Local caller, I'm sorry, call back because the line got disconnected. That wasn't on purpose. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
You're good now.
Okay. You take what you could work, if you could work 40 hours a week times the minimum wage job, and then you compare it to, like, what is the local rent and everything. You can easily see why some people would remain on public assistance, because the effort it would be taking, you know, when you go look for a job yourself, you don't get child care, you don't get food stamps, you don't get HEAP, you don't get all of these special programs. Compare it to what it would take for you to take a minimum wage job. If some of those benefits were not available, it would give people more of an incentive to do more, to not stay on the programs.
And not only
that,
that would cause de-inflation.
I think in the state of Ohio,
if you're working,
the average person on assistance is making $29,000 a year. I think that's the stat for Ohio. If they're on all the assistance programs and not working, it works out to $29,000 a year.
The local caller, you're on there.
Yeah, this is Steve. Jeff?
Yeah, we're here, brother.
Oh, yeah, this is Steve. Jeff, I mean, in some ways I agree that able-bodied person probably shouldn't be on disability. The only people, and I've always said that the only people that should be on disability are disabled and the elderly. But one would say, what about the working poor? In other words, you have a lot of women that work at Walmart, work at a lot of your service jobs, they have children, and, you know, you have a lot of jobs who have been outsourced in our country where people are not making the wages that they once made when they were more, say, factory jobs in our country.
Steve, I think this is an easy answer.
I agree that maybe...
Steve, if you would stop giving programs to the unneedy, okay, and force them to get a job, then the people that are working poor, you'd be able to help them, assist them. I would rather assist somebody who is working and trying to better their position in life, trying to get a better job, trying to educate themselves, going to school, than to give an able-bodied person money to sit and do nothing.
But how many of those people do you actually think are on the system?
I certainly appreciate that.
Well, Diva, there's way too many of them that are on that system. I'm just going to
I get that there are able-bodied people who take advantage of the system. I'm not denying that. But you can't deny that there are way more needy people in the system than those able-bodied. Even if you get rid of those able-bodied people, you would still have a huge system.
What's your definition of needy, Diva?
If you're not funny.
The problem, the problem that you've got is needy.
Whoa. Who's coming in? That's South Carolina?
South Carolina. Yeah.
Hold on, dog. We're going to bring you up one second. Yeah, hold on. Hold on, everybody.
I wanted to say something.
We're going to get you in a second, Steve. Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, now. Okay, now. I just had to get that in. Steve, I know what motivated you, brother. I know what motivated you, so that's why I had to set the
when Diva's not on the air.
He doesn't call no more when Diva ain't there.
Yeah, so he's not calling because he likes.
Or he'll call a check, and as soon as he finds out you're not there, he'll hang right up.
Right.
The problem that you're running into is poor is relative to what the individual thinks. You know, when I was growing up, there were seven of us in the household, mom, dad, occasional cousin that spent some time at the house. We didn't realize we were poor. I mean, we knew that we didn't have as much as other people, but we didn't go to bed hungry. I don't remember ever a time going to bed hungry. But poor is relative. I mean, when someone else sets the standard of what poor is, you know, you'll never achieve to that level, because somebody's always going to be poor. There's a kid I know right now whose parents own a construction company, and he said he thinks he's broke if he's not walking around with $200 or $300 in his pocket. So,
well, this is true. Hey, you guys, hold on a second. 626, you're in the air.
Oh, hey, Jeff. This is Lisa again from California. I just wanted to say with this welfare talk, the only problem is what would work in Ohio would not work out here in California. In California, we have a huge illegal alien population.
Yes.
Quite a few of them have several kids, and some of them work 10, 12 hours a day. So if you were to take welfare from them, what would you do? A lot of them don't even have a high school diploma.
A lot of them wouldn't come over if they could not get that, and so you wouldn't have that huge of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're here.
So you can deport them. They're not legally here.
And they can go back across the border should they so desire.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that. You know, when you
here, so what do we do now?
Once I said, like I said, when you support bad behavior, you get bad results.
Yeah, and you know the benefit.
That's what
they have. The benefit of not letting them get benefits unless they are citizens is that they would now, instead of become, they would want to become citizens legally and therefore pay taxes and support the system that they
are. How are they
going to
pay taxes without
exactly
a social security number?
But once again, if they become citizens, they will have social security numbers.
But where is the
okay
money going to come from trying to pay back taxes when we don't even know how much money we need?
Once again, they will become part of the solution instead of part of the problem.
Yeah, we didn't say pay back taxes. Listen, if they come across this border legally, okay, they will find a way to work, and they will work legally. And they will pay their little bit of tax that they will pay out of their paychecks, et cetera, et cetera. Or they will find ways.
No, I'm talking about the illegal aliens that are here right now.
Today. No.
Yes,
we're going to stop supporting them.
Right.
Okay?
So what are they going to do? Texas, let's just say if we got rid of welfare for illegal aliens as of today.
What would happen?
Yeah.
What would the illegal aliens do? They'd have two choices. One, become legal citizens. Or two,
go back
to Mexico.
If they become citizens, they are part of the solution, not the problem, because they are now out. And if they leave, they are no longer a burden to the system.
It's a win-win situation. It's common sense.
We need real solutions.
That is
a real solution.
That is just saying,
Lisa,
people,
that
oh,
is
well,
common
they
sense,
back.
Real solution.
Oh, that's ridiculous. They're not going back. So what's their solution
hey,
now?
Lisa?
They've been here living off the system for 20 years. They're not going back. So now what?
Lisa, we
have an
employer.
They can't go back, and not only
that,
their kids are already here because we allow them to stay.
Lisa, we have an employer problem in the United States. There's an employer in the town that I live in that hires many illegal aliens, a large employer. And if our immigration enforcement would work and they would find these employers, they would no longer hire these people and they wouldn't come here because they couldn't find jobs.
Exactly. But see, the problem is we look at it from an emotional point of view instead of what needs to be done.
But,
we feel sorry for them. But it's like instead
Lisa.
Of feeling sorry for America.
I don't feel sorry for them.
You know, the problem that you have.
I don't feel sorry for them. They want them to go back.
The
no, but most people do. I mean, out here, you read it in newspaper after newspaper, the soft story.
Lisa, the problem that you're running into is the fact that California and other and some other states and the United States government is not going by their own law. It is illegal.
Let me finish.
If you cannot benefit from a crime, if someone steals $1 million from a company, goes out and sets up another successful company with that $1 million, they cannot benefit from that crime. Okay? But what the United States is saying is, you committed a crime, you live here, you're going to benefit from it. And your family too. So my thing is, if you send the parent, if the parent is illegal, the child is illegal. Send them back.
Exactly. But not only that, what do you do when back in the early 90s, California voted against illegal immigration? It went to court. They shut it down, just like with gay marriage.
That was Prop 17?
Prop 187.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
I was there.
And just like here in California, we voted against gay marriage. And Obama was like, no, I don't think so. That is overturned. So that's another problem. When it's something is on the ballot, you vote either for or against it, but then a judge goes and overturns it.
That's why you need to change who's in power out there and get some Republicans,
get some libertarians,
some conservatives out there.
Real conservatives.
The problem is, but see, that's the problem with the Republican Party. Out here, people think all Republicans are racist, especially the white ones. So what do you do there?
Well, here's the thing, sis, and then 773, you're up. The whole thing is based on lies. They tell you that, you know, the Republicans, you know, you got this big thing and Eric Holder coming out and these people going into Texas filing suit against them having a voter ID law. Not considering the problem that you just said, all the illegal aliens that are sitting in the country, some of them have driver's license so they can take their behinds and go vote. And they do vote.
And they screw up the
process. And that's why you need the IDs and the Social Security numbers to go vote. And they don't want you to have it because they know that those are Democrat voters because they're promising things. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
but
all this party is about.
Only Democrats are on it.
When it comes to immigration, remember, they kick back Haitians. They'll do that real quick.
Absolutely. Haitians, Africans, anybody
exactly.
Who's too dark of a skin.
Yeah, the paper bag rule there.
So you know that's good. And the Republicans aren't helping in that matter. So you
see,
have to understand.
And that's the problem.
Well, see, the thing is the Republicans are fed up with the black vote in a sense because they did everything that set black people free. They made every bit of the legislation happen. I don't care what people want to say because there was a few more Democrats in the Congress. More Republicans voted for civil rights in every instance than Democrats ever did.
Percentage-wise.
Because Democrats always had the upper hand.
Percentage-wise, because when you're in a minority, your number, your percentage is going to look better when a majority of your party votes. No.
Eva,
that's how y'all get over it.
100% of Republicans.
With this percentage-wise, the fact remains, after the other state strategy.
Democrat,
blacks decided the Republican
Democrat
Party was no longer for them, and you can't get around that.
If 100% of one group believes in one thing and 50% of another group believes the same way, which group has a stronger leaning towards that object?
100% of Republicans did not believe in civil rights at that time either.
But you're not answering the question. If a larger percent of Republicans voted for civil rights than the Democrats, that would say that the Republican Party as a whole has a larger percentage of in the group that agrees with that tenet than the Democrats. Wouldn't you say that logically?
She doesn't know what you just said.
Yeah, it's over.
She probably was Common Core. 773, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeff, I got to get going.
Okay, see you, Steve. 773.
Yeah, how you doing, man? This is DJ again.
Hey, DJ.
Welcome
good,
back.
Good. To chime in what you guys were saying on poor and everything else like that, this is my own belief. I believe people, and I don't get me wrong, people do take advantage of the government and, programs that the government provides. But what I have a problem with is that, people want to live off of the government. That's my problem. Now let's say me. I come from a very, very poor family. You basically were on food stamps a week. I can remember every program in the world. But it was up to me to decide, okay, this is not the life that I want to live. I went to school, went to college. I was one of the very first people in my family to go to college. I'm a DJ, I'm a producer, I'm a talk show host. So, I believe at one point everybody has that choice to say, this is the way I'm going to live my life, or I'm just going to let the government take care of me. And the thing is that the programs are not provided for you for long-term circumstance. Now, I understand if you're a veteran or you were in the war or you have some type of disability, you have that right. But if you're able to walk on both feet, talk with, and you have a right mindset, why not get up and work? Instead
you're the hope of Chicago, my friend. You're the hope of Chicago because that's the whole thing. People, because of the progressives in this nation that have taken over totally the Democrat Party and partially the Republican Party, they're of this ilk mindset that they need to create two pieces of society, two levels. There's going to be the ruling class, and then there's going to be everybody else. They are dead set to do this, and you have the people that are going to suffer the worst, the poor people in America, clamoring for them to be in power.
Jeff, I want to go back to what South Carolina said about poor, because poor is relative. I got the census thing up here, the census numbers.
Mm-hmm.
80% of poor households have air conditioning. By contrast, in 1970, only 36% of the U.S. population had air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
92% of poor households have a microwave. Two-thirds have at least one DVD player. 75% have a car or truck. 31% have two or more. 4 out of 5 poor adults assert they were never hungry at any time in the prior year due to lack of money for food. Two-thirds have cable or satellite. Half have a personal computer. More than half of poor families have a video game system such as Xbox or PlayStation. Just under half, 43%, have internet access. A third have a widescreen plasma or LCD TV. One in every four has a DVD. Vast majority live in the houses or apartments of the poor are in good repair. Only 6% are overcrowded. Average poor American has more living space than the average non-poor individual living in Sweden, France, Germany, or the United Kingdom. Only 10% of the poor live in mobile homes or trailers. Half live in detached single-family houses or townhomes. 40% live in apartments. Here's a real kicker. 42% of all poor households own their own home. On average, it's a three-bedroom house with 1.5 baths, a garage, and a porch or patio, and that's from the U.S. Census Bureau.
Wow.
Wow.
334. Well, hold on. I hadn't really, you guys had a point earlier that I thought was real interesting about the illegals. I want to know from Diva, if all the illegals left the country, would unemployment fall, especially in the black community?
I don't have, hold on, how can I put this? Because you must think that I'm on the wrong side of the argument that you guys are on.
No, just answer the question.
Hold on. Let me see how to answer before you all decide to just jump on me. So I gotta decide the word just carefully.
She said she doesn't know.
No, I'm not saying
heart,
I don't
Steve.
Know.
I'm picking. I'm sorry. I'm picking.
Lord have mercy. Okay. I don't think that people who come here illegally should be able to live off the system. I do think there should be a fix where it comes to them trying to become naturalized citizens, because that's a long process. And in them being here for 10, 15 years trying to become citizens, they can still work. They should still be able to pay taxes. But I think that system needs to be fixed. But I don't think that if all the illegal immigrants get kicked out, that it's going to help with the black community and unemployment rights. Why? Because where I live, we don't have a high number of Mexicans, illegal Mexicans. We don't have a high number of, even in Youngstown,
yes, you
we
do.
Didn't have a high number of Mexicans.
Either.
So
yes,
it depends on where you live.
Yes,
don't really affect it.
Trust me.
I'm talking about nationalists. Just because of where you live, you can't get anecdotal. You can't get anecdotal. I'm saying for the whole country, like especially all throughout California, Texas, especially in Atlanta, in Montgomery, Alabama, where I'm from, the construction industry is nothing but Hispanics now. It's not even black people. I know people that got skills that can't get – they're working out there for $8 an hour and they can build a house with their hands, but they can't get
Alabama,
no jobs.
Alabama, we have so many illegal alien Mexican construction crews up here doing roofs and building certain things up here that it is interfering with a lot of the locals that are doing this. And you have to understand, Diva is incorrect when she says that, because not only do they have a lot of illegal Mexicans down where she's at, but there's a whole lot of on visa Africans down there. And so you have to understand that
we're not talking about Africans. He didn't say Africans. He said Mexicans.
I said not only do you have a whole lot of illegal Mexicans down there, you have a whole lot of illegal or I should not say totally illegal, because they're not illegal. They do have work visas. Africans down there.
The problem is we don't have the illegal
immigration problem as far as Mexicans.
Yes, you do.
We just had our roads fixed. We just had our main roads fixed.
Diva.
A lot of these construction projects that I see, I don't see overwhelmingly Mexicans.
You got to be legal to work for them. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Here's the problem you run into, and it goes back to a statement I made earlier. It is against the law for a criminal to profit from his crime. The United States government is not enforcing the law. If they let these people stay, they're saying, You committed a crime, and you're going to benefit from it by being able to stay. They should pick them out and have them come back through the regular processes. Whatever they have gained, and this is going to be real controversial, if they were here and they bought a house and so on and so forth, the United States government should get like Mexico and some of these other countries and seize that property. It becomes the property of the United States because it was gained under the commission of a crime. That's the law. That's the way it should be.
Why not
go ahead and streamline it down to like 8 months or 9 months to become a citizen? That's the problem with government. The same people that make 10 years to become a citizen are the same people that's over our health care. That's the issue
I don't want an eight month time for that at all. I want a 2 to 3 year time, but I do not want an 8 month.
Prior
that's ridiculous.
Prior to the Kennedy change in the immigration law in the '60s, The people that came here through Ellis Island, how long on average did it take them to become citizens from the time they hit the pier? Does anybody know?
I have no clue.
I don't either.
I want to say 15 months, 20 months.
I mean, in cities like New York, they had night schools with thousands of people in them learning their stuff they needed to pass the entrance exam, the citizenship exam.
Well,
I mean,
not even
that.
There's also a tariff or something. There's payment behind it. I think it's that you have to pay for all of that. You don't just go to a night school for a couple of months or a couple of years and learn about the Constitution and U.S. history, and then all of a sudden you become a citizen. It's a lot more to
that. They used to, Diva. That's the way it was done in the early 1900s.
Why can't it be, okay, you work two, like Jeff said, you work 2-3 years, you know, while you're working, we're going to tax you, and then you become a citizen. I agree with North Carolina, where it is.
To pass the citizenship exam, you have to have a certain level of knowledge of the way the government works, and you also have to be able to speak English. And that has to be a requirement for citizenship of the United States.
I think it's a must.
And as far as you not noticing the illegal immigrants, start looking around at the roofers and the private construction. Don't look at public because, yes, public construction projects are not going to have illegal immigrants on them. But all of the private ones, if you start looking around, you're going to see an awful lot of brown faces and hear an awful lot of Spanish, especially on roofs and laying block and pouring concrete.
Say, señor,
okay.
Por favor.
And go to the
packing
plant.
And when I went
outside,
when I had to go for my interview to sign up for my Medicaid, when I went there, you know the overwhelming population I've seen, and it's a huge building where everyone who is getting assistance in Columbus and the surrounding areas of Franklin County goes to one place. You know the overwhelming population that I've seen there? Africans, Somalians. I've seen a few Mexicans or Hispanics, but not like overwhelmingly. The majority of people there were either white, African-American, or they were African.
But, Diva, I don't disagree. Diva, this is the thing I want to say right here. If we want to not police
zero,
you the come
world, right in next, please.
Okay, if we want to not police the world, why not we not lullaby the rest of the world and give and take care of everybody, too, and just let people sustain themselves, because eventually this country's going to go under and these people going to suffer anyway. So you have to build your own strength to be able to sustain yourself. And if you can't, we're not really doing any favors giving people something, sustaining them for 30 days. We're just prolonging the inevitable, which is you're going to be swept under when everything else goes. Like when the dollar goes, everybody that's living off the government is going to suffer the worst. So these people have to be empowered to take care of themselves, and I don't see anybody that disagrees with that. That's all I'm saying. But if you're not an American citizen, you don't deserve to come over here and ride off our system. I can't stand that, especially Hispanics.
440, 440, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, all the Mexicans that are up around my way, they're up in the nurseries, they're in landscaping, they're in clockwork. And I mean a lot of them. I mean a lot of them. And I'll say this about illegal immigrants. You give them citizenship. I don't think they should be citizens at all. You're here illegal, that's it. If you make them citizens, they're going to make the black population in this country irrelevant. You will
they already
be
have.
Irrelevant.
They
I'm
already have.
You,
that's too late.
You think
too
you
late
have
for
no
that.
Say now? You think you have no say now? If you make them citizens, you're screwed.
You're absolutely correct. The political power is totally diluted, and a few of them are getting it right now. Few African-American people are getting that point right now. But because they're so tied to the Democrat Party, they are walking along like fools going for it. So it's not like
you're committing suicide.
Oh, absolutely.
You're committing suicide.
See,
that's exactly what you're doing. Or I mean the black community. They're committing suicide by voting for Democrats.
Well, it's my opinion that the black community has been hornswoggled, because most immigrant groups begin to become more conservative two or three generations into becoming Americans and assimilating into society.
This is true.
And for some reason, probably because of the Great Society programs, the black community has not done that. Actually, they've turned away from their conservative roots, from what I've read of the black community up until the 40s and 50s. Jeffrey, what's your opinion on that?
Well, no, you're absolutely correct. But like I said, once again, you don't have any control over your situation. Diva, you're back in. You don't have any control over your situation there. You have nothing that you can do to control what's going to happen with the legal population in America. And you already are the third minority, okay? The Hispanics have passed you by in how many people there are.
Because you've been convinced to murder your children.
Murder your own kids. You're killing your kids at three times the rate of everybody else. You're killing them. And then you have the problem that Chicago 773 is talking about. We got to get him. We already got a Chicago, so we got to call him something else. Okay, Doc, give me your name again. Chicago?
Me?
Yes, sir. DJ? Okay, DJ. Okay, DJ is trying to break out the vicious circle, and the circle is trying to swallow him up. He wants to be independent. Every time you came to be independent, that somebody came down and cracked your hands and your head.
Okay.
Whenever you got financially independent in America as African Americans, guess what? They did not let you do it. And now, why are they doing that, and they're not trying to do the Hispanics the same way? Anybody want to take a venture on that one?
Votes. Votes.
Well, not just
it's
votes.
It's all votes.
It is votes. It's not all votes. Nope. Nope, but it's not all votes.
And I'm going to say something. Can I say something to the guy in Chicago?
Let me say this real quick. Here's why. There's a huge void in the family structure of the black community. Okay, you have got
a serious
patriarchal society in the Mexican in the Hispanic community. If you want to find out just how patriarchal it is, you will totally offend if you go to a Hispanic household where there's a male and a female, and you address the female first. You have just offended that man and offended that family. Their culture is based upon, you know, a family structure that the African American has either rejected, turned his back on it, or just disregarded it.
Well, I agree with that as well. That is definitely part of the situation. But here's the reason why they assimilate. Well, California girl, you got to get out that noise. The Hispanic people assimilate white into America. They don't assimilate with black people. They assimilate white, and that's why they're not trying to not trying to stop them from being financially independent. But if you're black, they do. Now you have to explain that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, can I address Chicago? Leave Chicago.
Yeah.
Save your life. Get out.
Well, definitely.
Just leave everything behind and get out so you're not hurt. Leave.
Well, definitely. Well, this is what I will say, and I see this like in my friend and just in, you know, colleagues and family as mostly. It's a cycle. So I'm going to say this. It's like, put it like this. Now, let's say I'm a guy looking for a job. I go to an employer. There's another guy there. And I get turned down all the time. I get turned down. Well, sooner or later, something's going to give. Now, this is the mind state that people have. Sooner or later, it's going to get, okay, the first runs around and everything else like that. Well, what am I going to do?
So people go out and they go and sell the weed, or they go and hit a lick, as they would say. Then you get locked up. Now you come back into society. Now the employer can say, well, I can't hire you now because you got a background. But before any of that, he came to you asking for a job, and you never gave it to him. See, I feel like it's a cycle, and it's, you know, that's just how I look at it and how I experience it. So.
There's no doubt about it. It is a cycle, and they're not. It's a planned cycle, but this is the thing. You have to look at who's doing the cycle, and it is not what they tell you it is. And that's our problem, and that's the huge problem of the black community. We had a situation here where some people kind of bolted from the Democrat Party, and they were in leadership in the party, and they didn't trust to vote for the nominee of the party that they put out there as, you know, being the nominee. And he won the primary, but they endorsed in the primary, so really this guy was forced on a lot of the people. Well, some of the people didn't want to support that. Instead of them going behind closed doors and saying, look, I understand, you know, why you want to support the other candidate, but guess what? You can't be in leadership if you're going to do that. They didn't do that. They went to the news media. And these African-American, faithful to the party people, were denigrated. They were put up as an example. They hollered at them. They said, you know, talked to them in a disparaging, disparaging manner. 727, you're going to be coming up in a second. So my point was this. That's the problem. That is the problem. You can't have somebody that's been faithful to your party for 100 years. They disagree with you on one issue, and then you treat them like dirt. That's what they do all the time, though. 727, you're in there. I'm sorry, Sticks.
No, I didn't say anything.
Hello. Hey, I've been enjoying this conversation. I'm on the road, and I was listening to everything you guys were saying through iHeart. And one of the things, since I've been back on the road, this is Big G. One of the things I found on the road is just what you've said, and I've seen this before on the road. Everywhere I go, the majority of the people at these shops and places are Mexican. We may not see it in Youngstown, in our little area, but on the East Coast, that's all you see. That's all you see is you see immigrants, you see people from other countries, but very seldom do you see black folks running or leading in any of these companies that I've gone to. And I'm saying, we've just fallen behind. So I just called in to confirm what you said, because I'm out here and I go to these different – I'm delivering aluminum for Astro Shapes out of Struthers, and I go to these companies that are – and by the way, these companies are doing well. These people are complaining that they're working too much at a lot of these places. So these people are working, and they seem to be doing well outside of our area. But the majority of people that I see, I just left the place today, and the majority of people in this shop were Mexicans, and there was a few blacks there, but they were in minority again. So I just called to confirm everything that you guys have been saying. Good show that you have today, Joe.
Big G, thank you so much for that, and we appreciate it. And then 626, come on in. I'm calling you back up right now.
Oh, hey, I just wanted one more question. I got one more statement. I keep hearing, you know, people saying, oh, we're screwed. You know, black people are screwed. Actually, it's just the opposite. I mean, come on. We've been through the Civil War. We've been through slavery. We'll get by. The thing is, we go with the flow, and they're not. And that's going to be the problem that other people are going to run into.
Well, here's the thing. What you're going to really have the biggest problem with is that you're not going to be able to do anything about where you're at, your lot in life. if they take our ability to have businesses, which they're doing, with all of these, you know, regulations on business and et cetera, we're getting worse and worse at being able to go into business now.
They're making the illegal immigrants.
But that's the fault of the businesses.
No, it's not.
No, it's not totally.
Because they're making the illegal immigrant. Listen to me. They're making the illegal immigrant more desirable than the American citizen, because they can't pay the American citizen what they need to pay them to make a profit, because of all the associated things that are required to have when you have an American citizen. So they will stoop to hiring the illegal. And I was talking to a plumber friend of mine the other day.
It's going to be the same.
But
you
I was
really
talking
think
to a plumber.
They're going to work for that small pay forever? Of course not.
But I was talking to a plumber friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about this Obamacare thing and what it was going to do to his business. And he said basically what it's going to do to his business is it's going to make it to where it's so expensive to hire a licensed plumber that any guy with a pipe wrench and a white van is going to become a plumber, and those are the guys who are going to be working, and the licensed, reputable guys will not have any work. And that's what this regulation... What's that?
I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say the whole purpose in having illegal immigrants is because it's cheaper labor. And because you have cheaper labor, it's going to drive competition. I mean, there will be no competition. I mean, the American who goes out and try to have a business, you have to compete against this cheaper labor, and you just can't compete.
Oh, there is no competition.
Well, but the thing is, you could compete if you weren't hamstrung by all of the legal stuff.
Right.
For example, a guy starting out with a lawn service could hire teenagers in the summertime at $3 an hour.
Legally,
at $3 an hour. He could compete with the illegal immigrants.
Yeah, but my point is, people keep saying, oh, this is going to hurt black people. But what you don't understand is we do not have any power in this country, so it's going to hurt white people more.
That's your fault. That's your fault.
Wait. No. See, they're going to demand their rights when we don't. They will protest out in the street and dare you to arrest them. And they do not get arrested.
Well,
that's not true. But
we got guns too. California, they do not get arrested. Trust me.
I don't believe that.
They do get arrested.
And
I'm just saying
they
have been on TV.
Not at all. No, they don't.
Well, you know what? I hear you, but I can't buy that. But here's the thing. They don't care whether they get arrested, because many times being arrested might be a better place to go than where they came from.
But see, that's my point. They do not have any rights, but still the police will not arrest them. They dare the police to arrest them because it'll open up a can of worms and, you know, all of that stuff.
Then you all in California created that situation by putting these idiots in.
No, we voted against it, and like I said earlier, it was voted down.
Then why didn't you get out in the street and
protest it?
So why didn't you go out there and protest it from there? See, that's my point. No, you're not going to do that to me. You're going to have to answer to me.
Let me tell you this. When I become financially wealthy, maybe I'll do that. But in the meantime, I have to earn a living.
Well, you know what? I supported some people.
On TV. What do you think would happen to me in California? Please.
What is this? Hear what I'm going to tell you right now. I suffered the consequences of supporting what I believed in somebody that I believed in. I lost my job for it. I don't care. I'm going to say the truth so that somebody can catch it and we can get past this.
And I say it too. I have my own show, and I say it too.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm not going to roll over and die because, you know, I got progressives that have taken
roll
over.
Roll over and die. Out here with those
sis, I'm
going
to have to hold you
okay?
up. Yeah, I got you, but I can't take getting interrupted every time I open my mouth. That's worse than Diva. Go ahead, Diva. Go ahead, Diva.
I do have a serious question. I was thinking about this as I was laying in bed because I hear you guys always saying people are slaves to the government, but it seems like we're slaves to our employers too because, like she said, she's not willing to risk her livelihood. But my question is a serious question for you, Jeff, as in any other African American. What do we do? You have gays asking the government for equal rights, equal protection. You have the Latino community asking for the Dream Act. Okay, we asked for civil rights, and after we asked for civil rights and we got that, it seemed like we
didn't get it.
So now, hold on, let me ask, what are we asking as a people, not Democrat, Republican, but as the African American community, what exactly do we want government to do that we can't do for ourselves?
Let Sticks do first, then I'm going to say something. Go ahead.
Become financially literate and do what every other C student does. If you read The Millionaire Next Door by Dr. Thomas Stanley, the majority of self-made millionaires in the United States are C students, and because they realized early on they couldn't get through the system, they had to figure out a way around the system. So they ignored the system, and they went their own way, and they made their own way. That's what African-American people have to do. They have to divorce themselves.
I said, as African-American people, what are we asking the government to do? Because we always complain.
Nothing. Get up.
You
know
what? Okay, but we always complain the government's not doing anything for us. So what do we want the government to do for us that we can't do?
Get the hell out of my way. That's what I want the government to do. Stop taxing the daylights out of people and businesses so that businesses can hire people. Why do you think that there's nobody hiring and 70% of the jobs that have been created are part-time jobs? Because these people have put too much weight on them.
Let the African-American guy that wants to start a lawn service company.
So say the government decides to cut small business taxes down to 0%.
It doesn't matter.
You think that's going to help the African community
No. Didn't say nothing about taxes, did I? I said regulations. Listen. They have taxed the living daylights out of them. They have regulated the daylights out of them. They need to get out the way. They've destroyed the coal industry in America.
Let a guy that wants to start a hand wash car wash hire high school kids at $3 an hour or $4 an hour.
And that person is going to do, how is that going to work? You're not going to be able to run a successful business by just hiring high school kids.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Diva, stop. Go ahead, Alex, please.
Well, just a quick example of a successful business run mostly by high school kids is McDonald's. But moving on.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's
Wendy's.
Absolutely correct.
When you say what can the government do, I mean, yeah, people talk about taxes and things, but I mean, one of the things should be near and dear to people like Diva, like when it comes to medical stuff, because the only reason why we can't afford health care is because the government got in the way. It's because the doctors, the AMA, lobbied the government to force licensure on nurses and doctors, and that drove the cost of health care up. And then you have pharmaceuticals that go in and lobby the FDA. And then now, you know, people can't even put, you know, the claims of their food and different, herbal treatments and things on products because of the FDA regulations. And that all, and then it costs $100 million to get any drug or vaccine through the process through the FDA process. So that drives the cost up. It didn't used to be this way where people couldn't afford their medical bills. But because I just want to say that real quick, that it has unintended consequences, the reach of the government. And that's one.
I got to close out. Alex, that's an excellent point. Call me tomorrow, everybody. If the government would get out the way and quit overburdening businesses with taxes and quit destroying the little man with all its regulations and things that it wants to do and all its fake beliefs that we're warming the globe by what we're doing, we'll be all right in this country again. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff and Styx, Ben in the air chair. We'll see ya.
Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon. Next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett.
The ayes are 54, the nays are 46.
The Senate has voted down a GOP delay in the health care law as part of a spending bill to keep the government running. The budget measure now goes back to the House.
This is Ann Compton at the White House.
I am not at all resigned.
President Obama says he's eager to negotiate a long-term budget, but still flatly refuses to haggle over the looming debt ceiling.
I suspect that I will be speaking to the leaders today, tomorrow, and the next day.
The president calls for good faith and no threats.